If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to The Art of Charm. I'm your host, Jordan Harbinger. I'm here with both producer Jason DeFilippo and Kim Seltzer. Hi, Kim.
Hey, how are you?
Yeah, I'm glad that you were able to join us. Here at The Art of Charm, we don't have all the answers, but we definitely have all the right questions. Today on Fan Mail Friday, those questions come from you, and then Kim and I are going to answer some of those. If you're new to The Art of Charm podcast, Fan Mail Friday, it's a great... Look, people love this. What can I say? But there's a lot more long format content, interviews with people that you may or may not have heard of. So check out the best of at theartofcharm.com/best. We also have a fundamentals toolbox at theartofcharm.com/toolbox. That's where we've got things like body language, nonverbal communication, attraction, networking, negotiation, influence, persuasion, all that good stuff that we teach here at The Art of Charm during our live programs. And we'll send all that stuff to your inbox if you text CHARMED, that's CHARMED, to 33444. Only works in the U.S., which is lame. But if you're anywhere else, you can just go to theartofcharm.com. All right, Kim, let's do this. We've got some really interesting questions. And the first one comes from Hopeless Romantic. Jason, take it away for us.
Hi, Jordan and the Art of Charm family. I've been binge listening to your podcast for quite a while now and really appreciate all that you do. All of the advice offered from different perspectives and backgrounds has definitely opened my eyes and changed the way I perceive and interact with the world. Something I regularly struggle with is a feeling of emptiness, and I'm hoping you might have some advice for me in particular. I've been single for about a year now, with some micro relationships here and there, and nothing I do seems to fill that hole in my heart. The hole isn't from the previous relationship, but rather the lack of someone to love. I have a full-time job that pays my bills, a pet, loads of hobbies that keep me busy and fit, have done a lot of traveling by myself, a wide variety of supportive friends, live alone and am totally comfortable with it and who I am as a person. Roommates are out of the question, at least for a year or two. I'm bored with my job, but I'm starting night school soon to change my career into an area I'm passionate about, so I feel like everything on my end is taken care of in regards to being happy with my life. I'm the type of person that unconditionally loves once I find someone I'm interested in, immediately falling head over heels time and time again, to the point where I fall into a pit that I've managed to keep myself out of. People in the pit are all past mistakes I know I should stay away from. Dating sites and apps, no strings attached sex, friends with benefits, relationships I knew weren't right for me from the start, etc. I feel whole as a person and am not actively seeking a relationship through dating, but this consistent ache for a partner will drive me crazy until I found one. The problem is, I know now not to let anyone who knocks into my life anymore and wait for someone who meshes well with my life and treats me the same way I treat them. How do I quench this? Am I doing something wrong? Thank you for your time, and I hope you can help me. Signed, Hopeless Romantic.
So, Kim, the first thing that struck me is, well, like you'd said pre-show, there's a lot of questions in some of these questions.
Mm-hmm.
So what's going on? Why do people, first of all, why do people do that? Is that just a writing thing, or is she having trouble actually narrowing down what her issue really is? That's kind of what it sounds like.
Yeah, well, I think issues are layered. I mean, that's part of the thing.
Layered.
It's like,
perfect.
And I think actually when people start writing, they figure out it's not just one problem. There's a lot of things going on. And I find this to be true when I'm coaching. You know, somebody will call in with a issue, quote unquote, or a problem.
Mm-hmm.
And as we dive in and we kind of peel away the layers, we then determine that there's other things going on.
I think you're right. I think it has to do with the layers, like you mentioned. But I know whenever I'm first starting to think about a problem, it's almost never the same thing after I'm done looking at it a lot.
Right.
And it's like, oh, this person's always busting my chops. And then it's like, oh, I'm sensitive about these topics because, and then there's this whole thing that has nothing to do with the person generally. That's
exactly
how that plays out, right?
Exactly. But that's why people get overwhelmed with their you know, problems or things that are challenging for them, because it's like a whole storm in their head, right? Like, it's hard to kind of part the clouds and really see the different aspects that they're struggling with. And like in this question in particular, there were a lot of layers here.
Yeah. So let's do layer one here. What the first thing that struck out at me is that she's really looking for this relationship. And it's like, oh, you know, I just need someone. So that strikes me as a little needy. But she even says, I'm the type of person that unconditionally loves once I find someone I'm interested in, immediately falling head over heels time and time again to the point where I fell into a pit that I've now managed to keep myself out of. People in the pit are all the mistakes I know I should stay away from. Like, okay. But then goes on to say, I feel whole as a person. I'm not actively seeking a relationship through dating. But this consistent ache for a partner will drive me crazy until I found one. Why, if you're a whole person, are you active? Is it killing you that you're single?
She's all over the place. I mean, that's the problem. I think that's why she's confused, and that's why this is hard for her. And what, you know, it reminds me of is almost what I call these tornado relationships. You know, I think she gets caught up in the tornado.
Yeah.
She gets caught in, and all of a sudden it's like either sexually driven, and she finds a lot of quote unquote chemistry with that person, and she's all in and she puts everything into it. And then it becomes this kind of like codependent. She gets lost in the tornado, and then suddenly the tornado disappears and she's nowhere. And she's left with just remnants on the ground, looking around, and she's like, oh my God, what just happened? And then she feels the emptiness and, you know, the void that she's feeling. And so it's this up and down thing that I'm getting a feel for her about. And that's, I think, hard. Yeah, that's what I would ask her about, is that are there patterns in her life where it's like all in or all out?
You know, that's what it sounds like.
Black and white.
Me reading between the lines here, especially where she says, people in the pit are all the past mistakes I know I should stay away from. Dating sites and apps, no strings attached sex, friends with benefits, relationships I knew weren't right for me from the start. Hopeless romantic is not dumb. She's actually pretty self-aware.
Mm-hmm.
And yet there's a compulsion here to go, well, I know I do all these bad things, but the need for the relationship, aka to fill the hole, is greater than what seems like a fair, healthy amount of common sense.
Yeah, but she doesn't know how to get there. And I think this is what she's struggling with, is that she's finding herself in kind of relationships that are somewhat where she keeps herself at a distance, where she doesn't get really attached.
Oh, because she's making it more chemistry, sexual whirlwind.
Exactly, and not intimate.
Right, like, it's not real intimacy.
It's not depth.
That makes
and
total
so,
sense.
Yeah, and so now she finds that emptiness because there's no depth to the relationship, yet she wants it.
So then, okay, that leads me to the next question, which is, why is this whole, what's causing this need to be so great in the first place? And that's where I think, like, Dr. Phil comes in, right? Or
well,
hopefully not really him, but a real therapist.
You could ask Kimberly.
Right. Because
we don't know
what's going on with Hopeless Romantic's past, but something was not there that she's trying to get back.
Yeah, there's something about her ability to attach and commit, and my guess is that she probably didn't have that growing up.
Yes, I'm guessing an like absent father or mother, who the hell knows, right? Some sort of...
It could just be absence in general. Like, it'd be like somebody who was not there for her emotionally. It could be somebody who physically wasn't there, but for some reason she didn't learn how to be intimate, or it was scary for her.
Yeah,
whatever it was.
Like, maybe there's abuse in the past. I've seen. I think
it could be. Yeah,
because Hopeless Romantic is not hopeless. This person is intelligent.
Well, she's actually hopeful.
Yes.
She's hopeful that she will have that, but she does. I think she doesn't know how, and so that's what I. You know, that's what I would love to help her with, because a lot of times people aren't aware of what they're doing that kind of recreates that distant kind of relationship rather than having meaningful, deep relationships.
Yeah. Yeah. I think this is something that needs to be talked over with a therapist on the regular, because when it says the hole isn't from a previous relationship, but rather the lack of someone to love, it's a much more complex issue. If it was just, oh, I got dumped by somebody and now I'm going through this thing, it's called a rebound, totally healthy, everyone does it, whatever.
Totally.
But this lack of someone to love, I mean, I was single for a really, really, really long time and it didn't bother me that much. I didn't have a lack of someone to love. I was focused on my own crap like every other self-centered guy around, you know? So the fact is, she's got a job, she's got a pet, she's got hobbies. It looks like she's in good, you know, healthy, she's got a healthy social life.
Mm-hmm.
The fact is, she's missing an intimate partner. And so, but that shouldn't be a thing that's driving you so crazy you can't stop thinking about it and you're doing things that are unhealthy as a result.
When I coach people with this kind of profile where they're having a hard time with intimacy and depth, one of the things that I find to be true is that they have a tremendous hard time disclosing how they feel. And in ways that, you know, sharing about themselves, they're more focused on the partner. It's actually kind of scary to talk about themselves, or it's shunned. So it's either so they pick people who don't want to hear about them because that's comfortable for them. So again, they recreate that whole pattern.
Yeah, interesting. Well, hopeless romantic, you're far from hopeless. I hope this helped out a little bit. And definitely get back to us and let us know what your exploration into what's causing that hole leads to. I think, look, therapy is healthy. Everybody needs a therapist. I don't care how sane you think you are. Go get a therapist, especially if you have something like this going on, because they'll help you identify what's really happening here, and you might have to attack a different problem entirely.
Yeah, absolutely.
Hey, Art of Charm listeners. I'm excited to share a new podcast I've been absolutely binging. Winning is an everyday mindset, and Craig Robinson and John Calipari are here to help. On Ways to Win podcast, Craig and Coach Cal use their on-court wisdom to solve your off-court problems. Whether it's trouble at home or a workplace dilemma, the coaches will help you find a winning formula for success. You'll hear from prominent athletes, business leaders, and celebrities who reveal insights that made them into the leaders they are today. And don't miss President Obama sharing how he deals with pressure by projecting confidence, believing in your team, and taking criticism. Listen to Ways to Win wherever you get your podcasts.
Over the last 17 years, we have launched our fair share of online courses, coaching programs, and finding the right platform has always been a challenge.
They say if you do what you love, you never work a day in your life. But if you're an entrepreneur, you know the hard work that comes with it. That's why you need Kajabi. Kajabi makes it easy to run your entire online business from one platform so you can focus on what you love, creating.
Kajabi is the ultimate all-in-one platform that helps creators and entrepreneurs build successful online businesses by unlocking predictable recurring revenue.
No matter your niche, Kajabi makes it easy to turn your skills, passions, and experiences into enriching online courses, exclusive membership sites, subscription podcasts, thriving communities, personalized coaching, and more.
The best part? Kajabi doesn't cut into your revenue because everything is owned and controlled by you. So keep 100% of what you earn.
And with Kajabi, you also get robust analytics, easy payment options, email marketing tools, and customizable website templates, all built in.
You don't even need a huge audience to make sustainable income. There are thousands of creators on Kajabi making six and seven figures with less than 50,000 followers.
Right now, Kajabi is offering a free 30-day trial to start your business if you go to kajabi.com/charm. That's KAJABI.com/charm.
Go to kajabi.com/charm and join the creators and entrepreneurs who have made over $7 billion.
Thanks for listening and supporting The Art of Charm. For a list of all the amazing sponsors and discount codes, visit theartofcharm.com/advertisers. Now, back to Fan Mail Friday.
Jason, next question.
Hello, team at The Art of Charm. I've been listening to your podcast for about 10 months, and it's really informative, so thanks to all of you for your efforts. I've been married to my wife for about 3 years. We are close, intimate, and really love each other. We haven't really had any fights at all. The only issue regarding our relationship I'm facing is that when she gets disappointed or angry at me, very minor but legit reasons like I stay up late working when she wanted me to come to sleep, she doesn't really talk for a day or two, doesn't argue, doesn't fight, just remains quiet and gives me the cold shoulder if I try to say I'm sorry. She gets normal after a day or two by herself. My question is, how can I reduce the time period when she's angry, or rather completely avoid it? Many times she doesn't even tell me what went wrong, and I keep on thinking the whole time, if I really did something terrible. Thanks for your help. Confused husband from London.
So this one would drive me crazy.
I know, I could especially not, you and I.
Oh, man. I could not deal with this, so you're a better man than I, confused husband from London. Kim, you had some thoughts on this.
Yeah, well, first of all, I just notice these people are from London, and what I know to be true, a lot of people who I work with and the British culture is to kind of hold things in, sweep things under the rug. There's a little passive aggression. And again, that's kind of stemmed from their family of origin. It's as a culture.
Stiff upper lip.
Yes, yes. And so how people manage anger is to stuff everything inside and not say anything. And what happens is it stews and it boils and percolates, and then all of a sudden it boils over, and then boom, there's a big explosion. So maybe what the wife does is that she's like sweeping things under the rug and letting, collecting dust, if you will, and over time, and then a little incident will happen and she just blows, and then it's like days that she's angry at him. So my recommendation is to really work on how can you express yourself when you're angry when it's happening. So the more you talk about how you're feeling when it's happening, the less buildup there'll be.
I couldn't deal with this myself. What would be hard about this for me is I'm one of those, like, let's solve the problem right now. Let's talk about it right now, get it over with. If you're mad, you can vent. It's cool. You know, I understand that. I don't want to have to guess when you're going to feel better or feel guilty for 2 days, because I would, and then I would resent that because I would think maybe she's trying to control me with this guilt. She's more than happy to make me feel guilty about this. And, you know, that, especially with something minor, like I stay up late working, she wants me to come to sleep. So what? People got stuff to do.
But see, that I don't even think is really what's angering her. Probably the fact that she feels ignored, and there's a lot of incidences that are happening, and it's building up. And so when he does that, she's like, oh, at her wit's end. So what
then she ignores him, though.
Well, right, because it's a passive-aggressive kind of, like, payback.
I guess,
right?
I'm not into the passive-aggressive thing.
It's very difficult.
It would just not. It's not my style.
It's just not my style.
It's not my style, man.
No. You know what I tell couples a lot to do, too, is to almost when things are calm, when things are good, to talk about this stuff. And this is the healthy communication. You know, when you don't come to bed, I feel angry and frustrated and ignored. So I really would love it next time if you could do your work earlier, or, you know, almost make a contract with each other or how they can handle it in the future, so that when it does come up, They're ready, and it's not this, like, big drama.
Nice. Jason, next up.
Hi, Jordan. Your podcast has made a significant impact on my life, and I thank you. You are brilliant. Your guests are relevant, and the subject matter could not be any more helpful. I'm 44, single, working 5 days a week, finishing a criminal justice degree, and interning 1 day a week. I also train to compete in running and obstacle course races. I went back to school to make a career change due to the fact that my children are now in college and I don't have any more time constraints. My problem is that the majority of men find me intimidating, and the ones who don't aren't worth dating. Women have also told me this. How can I become more approachable? I love people, work with people, and get my energy from people. I'm attractive and in good shape. Most people think I'm in my mid-30s. My nickname at work is Soldier because of my posture and how I walk. This makes me laugh, but I recognize the negative connotations as well. My good male friends say that I just need to date more confident men who won't be intimidated by me. He says that I'm beautiful, blunt, and opinionated, which most men can't handle. Also, I don't drink when I'm out, and some people feel uncomfortable about this, though other people drinking doesn't bother me at all. Due to my extensive Art of Charm education, I always ask questions and try to get to know people, find out what makes them tick. I'm doing most things right by Art of Charm standards. I'm friendly, funny, and confident. How can I get a man to talk to me?
You know what's funny about this question is when I heard the first, like, three lines of this thing, I already saw the problem coming because, yes, right, finishing a criminal justice degree. Right, running, obstacle courses, yeah. Career, grown kids, nickname. I mean, I didn't even have to get to the nickname at work is Soldier because of the posture. But what is going on here? A lot of AOC sisters have this problem. And of course, some of them send photos and it's like bodybuilder, athlete. Yeah. I mean, this, I'll be honest, like, even as a confident guy, that kind of thing, I just assume, oh, well, you know, this girl's pretty athletic. If I'm going to set her up with somebody, it's got to be like a real jockey guy.
Yeah, you know. So, okay, I have a whole theory around all of this, and this is actually my specialty in helping women kind of feel into their femininity and be more approachable, especially when they... I know, it just so happens that I'm right here to answer your question.
We've definitely saved this
one for you. But I want to ask you as a man, like, what comes to mind? Because you said that those things kind of jumped out, and if this was an online profile and you see a picture of, like, this really fit woman... And we've seen some of those pictures come in. And then she says, I run obstacle courses and I'm a criminal justice person and all that. Like, what do you react to?
Well, maybe I'm weird, but I definitely have, like, I dated female police officers and stuff and thought it was pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
And after a while, I didn't worry about it. And that came with a whole different set of complications. But I think most guys who are equally confident are going to still be like, man, I've gained a little weight. And meanwhile, you're over there doing like 13 pull-ups on your way out the door because you can. And you're throwing kettlebells around in the garage. And I'm like, oh, but Netflix, right? So that would be, it's not just, and I'm not saying like one guy's a fat body and then there's this athletic female.
Mm-hmm.
I just mean, I don't want to have to worry about being competitive with my wife or girlfriend for fitness stuff. And I'm sure the first thing you're thinking is, I don't need that. But imagine you're off doing your CrossFit or your obstacle Spartan race, whatever. And I'm like, I'm cheering you on. And there's all these big jockey dudes. Like, guys worry about that stuff because we're thinking that we have to compete with the guys that are competing with you. And it's just like, not a lot of guys want to sign up for that.
Right. And then that's what I hear from a lot of men is that they feel emasculated and that they want to feel like the man and to be able to provide and protect. And there's something about women who come across as strong, intimidating, who can do it all, who's a go-getter, as that she doesn't need a man. And so we get caught into that. But, you know, she says something interesting. She said that she gets feedback about her posture and how she talks. So it's not also just like what she does for a living, but it's the way she is moving her body somehow. Maybe she's stiff in the way she talks. I don't know what she wears. And certainly I always recommend.
I don't know, Jess. What are you wearing?
Yeah. What are you wearing? And how does she react to that? Like dresses and heels. Definitely helps with, you know, just being more feminine.
But what if she, like, she might be like, oh, I'm not going to wear friggin' heels. So that's bad for you. And I don't want to deal with that. I mean, do women really have to wear dresses and heels just to get guys to not be insecure? That sucks.
Well, it's not like the end all be all, but let's face it. I mean, there's not many guys who don't like women in dresses, and it's something that actually can make a woman feel more feminine. It's not just about the man. It's also about the way the woman feels inside this kind of, you know, she embodies this thing that she puts on her body, and
like a uniform.
She acts that it is. It's like a uniform.
That's
good. So
because I'm so loath to tell women, hey, you got to dress this way to be attractive, because I think that's just like one, not totally true, and two, just a crummy way to. I wouldn't want to tell guys you need to be able to bench 250 in order to be a man. So I wouldn't want to tell women you got to wear heels in order to be a lady. I just, you know, so I want to avoid.
But let's face it. See, again, it's not about the man. It's about how she, so if she is walking and talking in a way that looks somehow intimidating or masculine, if a woman puts on a pair of heels, it's almost impossible to walk like a man. Okay?
I've tried. I mean,
have you?
Give it a try.
Maybe that's what we should try.
Give it a shot.
But I'm sorry. A woman walks differently in a pair of flip-flops than she does in a pair of heels.
Yeah,
that's all
sure,
I'm saying.
Sure. Sure. Jess, give it a shot. Dress maybe. Ugh, I hate saying this, but try dressing a little bit differently sometimes. But I would say also, it's so easy for me to be like, don't worry about it. Some guys are like this. I would say that you might have to take a little bit more initiative, because I think a lot of guys are counting themselves out of this race just because you seem really confident. There's probably tons of guys that are average, normal guys that think you're really something special, but are like, yeah, but I don't run Spartan races, so she's going to think I'm a wimp. Because I would think that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Well, and it's also the way she communicates. So, you know, I always teach women it's not, femininity is not about dumbing down or being something that you're not.
Good,
it's about receiving, you know, like allow men to do things. And a lot of times these go-getter women, they don't even realize that they're like producing their life suddenly.
Right.
And then the man's like, wait, I want to do that for you.
All right. Perfect. Jess, hope that helps. Let us know how it goes as well, because this is not the first time we've seen this question and not the first time we've solved this problem. But for, I feel like it's different for each person, because the factors that are making someone less approachable are always different. Next up.
Dear Jordan, where do I start? Well, let me just shout it out. Woo-hoo-wee. I hope this can let you know what a big fan I am of your podcasts. So I have a question. I'm a 26-year-old woman, run my own business as founder and teacher of a dance school, got hobbies, friends, I work out, and socialize. The one thing missing is a man in my life, I think. Well, to be clear, no matter what I do, it always feels like there's this big void, as though I couldn't feel complete or happy without a man. So when I go out, and just for your overall image, I'm pretty hot. I smile, I'm open and socialize, but I can't seem to find a man. I think it's because they can smell the desperation vibe. They say you gotta keep yourself busy and focus on your passions and then love will come. But I'm already doing that, and I can't seem to fake not caring about wanting a man. So my question is, how can I just be less desperate? Or better said, feel whole and happy without a man in my life? Thank you so much, Jordan. If you're ever in The Hague, Netherlands, you're welcome for some of my homemade hummus. Lots of love, Sarah.
First of all, I'm always down for hummus in The Hague. Hague hummus.
Hague hummus.
I'm in.
Right.
Sarah, thanks for writing it. You know, I really appreciate you being a fan. And you know what I love about this one? She said, I'm pretty hot.
I know.
I love
she
that.
Owned it.
I love
and
that.
And that's hot.
That is hot.
Right?
I think more women should be like, yeah, I'm really cute. Because usually they're understating it as is anyway.
You know, it's funny that you said that because I just did a whole talk on that yesterday and that, you know, men love women who love themselves. And mm-hmm. when women own what they have, it's so attractive. And I mean, we find that attractive in men too. And it's not about it being conceited or stuck up. It's about just kind of confidence in who you are.
Yeah. I mean, worst case scenario, someone disagrees with you privately. So who gives a crap?
Right. Like, right. Yeah, like privately says, you know what? You're really not hot.
Yeah, nobody would ever do that, right?
They might
just be like, oh, yeah, Sarah thinks she's hot. And then, but some guy's going to be in the corner like, yeah, she's really hot. And then he's going to be like, what? Well, why don't you do that? That's how conversations about women start with guys.
Yeah.
Oh, man, that girl Sarah's pretty cute. What? You think so? Oh, man, I'll totally hook you guys up. She's not my type. You know, that happens all the time. Mm-hmm. Like, all the time. And Jen's brother's like that. He'll be like, what's up with that girl? And I'm like, Jess? Oh, yeah. Totally on the market, you know, because I'm just thinking like, yeah, he likes different types of women that I don't even really necessarily find attractive. Anyway, we're digressing big time here.
No, but I know, but that is good because, and actually, I feel like it is a good segue to answering her question because beauty is in the eye of the beholder. I believe there's a man for everybody. And every woman, every body type, every ethnicity, age, you know, so it is. I don't know what's going on with her.
I mean, with this one, it's hard to say because she's appears to have it all. But look, the remarkable similarity between this and the first question is that, to be clearer, no matter what I do, it always feels like there's this big void, as though I could not feel complete or happy without a man. So when I smell the desperation vibe. That, to me, is the very similar slash exact same problem as the first question.
Yeah, it's a little different in that I don't know the age of the first one. She's 26, okay?
Right.
And I also don't know, and excuse me, but I don't know the culture in the Netherlands. Like, do people get married and have kids younger? And
no.
So they're not,
no.
Right? So I'm just wondering, like, where this kind of desperation is coming from? Because often I see this with people who want to, like, you know, hunker down and have kids. If she's in a small town and everybody else is getting married and she's having this, like, biological clock ticking.
The Hague, Netherlands, big city, relatively speaking. Netherlands is like Northern Europe, Scandinavia adjacent type of culture.
Mm-hmm.
Think Germany, think Sweden ish.
So that's, you know, interesting. I mean, I always look at the culture first, you know.
Yeah, these are people that maybe having kids in their late 30s, whatever, not necessarily all getting married.
Mm-hmm.
So, but who knows? Maybe her circle is smaller.
But that's what I'm wondering. I'm just wondering what her environment is like that's
say.
Causing some of this, like, kind of pressure. But the other thing is, you know, what is that desperation about? Like, is it about being alone? Is she have a hard time being alone? And if that's the case, I always tell people you have to be okay to be alone before you can be okay being with someone.
Why?
Because it's important to be comfortable by yourself and be okay with yourself. Because I find that people who are so desperate to have somebody so that almost like it becomes their identity, like they're not even separate from that person and that they need somebody to fill them up.
Right. So that's how you get the one name, right? Like,
yeah.
Brangelina.
Something like that.
Yeah. That's interesting. So who knows? It could be a mixture of environment. It could have something to do with the culture. It's hard to say. Here, though, I'm going to throw another thing out here, which is that a lot of the Dutch, Northern European, just Scandinavian type of men,
mm-hmm.
they are not very forthcoming about what they're looking for, what they want. They just don't. there's not a lot of touching. There's not a lot of walking up and talking to other people. It's funny because when guys from Art of Charm go to Norway or something like that, recently somebody went to Norway and all these Norwegian friends of ours were like, oh, yeah, you know, you never would talk to anybody in the street like that. It's so strange. It's unusual. And I said, so what if we just do that anyway? And mm-hmm. they were like, oh, well, every girl would totally love that because, you know, Norwegian girls love any guy that's not Norwegian. This is from a female, too.
Yeah.
So she was like, oh, that would be really weird. Oh, but it would totally work on me. And all my friends would totally love that. And all the guys we've met from Italy or America, whenever they come talk to us, we always go out with them. And I'm just like, wow, what a weird double standard. So these Dutch, Norwegian, Swedish, whatever guys, they will not go up and talk to anybody else. But once they start doing it or somebody else does it, the response is immediate.
Mm.
So there might be some of that here, but mm-hmm. that's she would know that if she's Dutch. I guess we don't necessarily know if she's Dutch or if she grew up somewhere else. But it sounds like you've got a lot going on. You work out, you socialize. One thing is missing. This could just be a biological clock. You know, maybe it's just ticking. Hormonal, whatever.
Well, that's what I said in the beginning. I'm not sure like what that's about. But the other thing is, and without beating a dead horse, is the family of origin stuff. Like,
yeah.
We don't know if there's this like desperate need to fill a void from some family stuff, you know, and so it's hard for her to be alone.
Yeah. So I think she hit on the key here. It's better to be happy without somebody
mm-hmm.
because that tends to be, in our experience and in mine especially, when you tend to be the most open to relationships. Doesn't mean you don't have to put yourself out there and continue talking with people and meeting people. It just means that's when things start to fall from the sky. Because when it rains, it pours when it comes to the same thing for guys. When guys have girlfriends, women seem to come out of the woodwork. Guys, you ever notice that? The reason partially is because you're not acting like a frickin' dog that's starving.
So true. So true. I know. It's funny. Like, even when people decide that they want to work on their dating life and they start coaching with me or whatever. The minute they commit to themselves is when all of a sudden they start like hearing from old boyfriends, guys start looking at them and people will be like, Kim, do you have a voodoo doll or something? Like, why? And I say to them, no, it's your energy. You're suddenly not this. Like,
and by
desperate.
Energy, you mean the vibe you're putting out there.
Yeah.
Because I hate the word energy.
Oh,
you know.
So it's too woo-woo.
It is.
Yes. It's the vibe that you're putting out there. But also just in terms
the demeanor,
of like your mindset. It's mindset, too.
Mindset. Well, the mindset is what the shift in mindset is what changes the behavior slightly enough to be just a little bit more confident, probably a little bit disinterested as well.
Yes. Yes. So your body language is different as well.
So you're not leaning in and being too. And who knows? I mean, I haven't spent enough time in Northern Europe to really know, although I did live in Germany. And I'll tell you, over there, it's just the dating thing is completely different. And you got to give a little bit of a head nod to or a hat tip to the fact that people aren't necessarily going to put themselves out there as much. All right, Jason, last but not least.
Hi, AOC folks. I've been listening to your podcast for a couple months now, and you've become regular voices in my commute. I've gained lots of good information and tips. I've found quite a few topics that relate to where I am right now in my life. I'm hoping you can help me out. Buckle in, because this is a weird one. I'm in a strange place in my life, and I'm struggling to get motivated and creative again after a rough few years. I recently have gone through some pretty significant changes. The two biggest have been a death in the family, as well as a divorce that made me aware of my ex-husband's secret family. No, really. So as a full-time art director and mother of four, I'm looking to find my spark again, jumpstart my creativity, and get back to showing my kids a good example of how one can bounce back from this trauma and get back to rocking life. But the thing is, I'm exhausted, emotionally, creatively, physically, wiped out. Any pointers on getting my groove back? Please let me know if you need any more information to help you tackle this question. I hope this makes it on the air. Well, it has. Best, Caroline.
All right, Kim, this one, what? First of all, holy crap.
Mm-hmm.
Secret family? Is this a Mexican soap opera?
I know.
That's incredible. You don't hear about that very often. I'm trying to make you into a circus exhibit here, Caroline. This is really a shame, but holy cow. I mean.
Yeah, this is tough. Well, here's the thing. She's been through a tremendous amount of loss. And what we know about like grieving is that when you have one loss, and then another one on top of it, especially close together, you grieve the first loss. And so it layers upon itself again. And so it becomes really heavy. It's hard, too, to be creative when you're in this state of heaviness. And so she's probably feeling that.
Right. So, oh, I see. Death in the family as well as a divorce. Mm-hmm. And not just any divorce, secret family divorce. Okay. So this is like getting hit in the face multiple times. And then trying to get your balance again.
Exactly. Like multiple blows. And so she said she's exhausted emotionally, creatively, physically wiped out.
And she has four kids. So this isn't like, all right, go to the beach for 2 weeks.
Exactly.
Like
exactly.
There's other ish going on.
She can't just close the door and like walk out. Yeah. So, when I get situations like this, people come to it. Again, it's good to lay out what all the stressors are right now, because she's probably just overwhelmed with the different feelings that you go through in grieving. You know, there's depression, there's anger, there's bargaining. Stages of grief, as you know. So, I think that once she figures out for herself, first of all, just how to kind of feel almost back on her feet, she needs to do things to balance out some of this heaviness. And she's taking care of the kids too. She can carve out times in the day, in the week where she's taking care of herself. And it could be small. It could be like a massage. It could be things like, you know, going to, you know, tea with her girlfriend or whatever it is that
I want to make sure she's working out too. I think working out's like a miracle drug.
Oh my god,
it cures friggin' everything. The other thing is, and I'm just spitballing, so Kim, you could disagree with me here, but with four kids and with the divorce and the secret family, everybody's probably feeling like rejected because dad had a secret family, which is insanity. So maybe there's an activity that the whole family, four and her, can do together that will sort of strengthen their bond and say, like, look, that guy caused a lot of grief, but we're all doing this pottery thing, or we're all doing this activity or this cool sport, something that everybody likes, so that your kids and you are kind of like, you're on the same team, your team, whatever your last name is, right? You can create a more solid unit. That way, not everybody's feeling alone. Because who knows? I mean, you're probably feeling alone, Carolyn, a little bit from the divorce and the death. And then your kids are like, mom's all stressed out. So maybe you're not emotionally there as much. So they're feeling weird. Maybe reignite, maybe strengthen those bonds that you have with your family. And I think you'll feel like, if you feel like you've got four teammates at home rather than four screaming kids who need attention because you're busy and torn in all these different directions, I think that might do you some good.
I love that. I'm glad you mentioned that too. And because one thing that came to my mind is like, how much do the kids know? We don't know if the kids even know what happened.
Yeah, they could be 16, right? Or they could be 6.
Exactly. So we don't know. But it's good. I would highly recommend family therapy too.
Yes.
Great. To your point, so that there's some communication amongst
family therapy followed by some bowling. Or whatever, right?
Ice cream.
It's ice cream. Something interesting.
Or if they're 21, a beer. I don't know.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So, Carolyn, let us know how this goes, really, because you've been through a lot. It doesn't have to ruin your family, though. It really doesn't.
And you can have a life again.
Yes, but one step at a time, right?
Right, right.
All right. Hope you all enjoyed that. Don't forget, you can email us friday@theartofcharm.com to get your questions answered on the air. A link to this blog post can be found at theartofcharm.com/FMF84. Also, don't forget about the Art of Charm Challenge. Text CHARMED, that's CHARMED, to 33444 in the USA. Or if you're not, go to theartofcharm.com. We'll take you step by step, becoming a better networker, making better personal professional connections, increasing your social capital, your charisma, and it's for both guys and gals. So check that out. Text CHARMED, that's CHARMED, to 33444 in the US. Or go to theartofcharm.com. Quick shout out goes to Annavelle from EMSI, who hooked me up with an opportunity to speak where I gave the keynote for their annual conference this year. Y'all are a great crowd. I hope AOC has some new fans as a result of that. And Annavelle, I'm a fan of you for sure for setting that up for me. Thanks so much. Are you in a strange land listening to my familiar voice? If so, hit me up and I'll shout you out. More from The Art of Charm at theartofcharm.com, including info on our live residential boot camps that we run every single week here in LA. If you really want to dig into this stuff and work on your AOC skills with us as your coaches, that's bootcamp.theartofcharm.com. Now stay charming, get out there and connect, and leave everyone better than you found them.
Thanks for listening to The Art of Charm. Get more confidence, relationship skills, life hacks, and more at theartofcharmpodcast.com.